Afternoon, Fred. You're one of our regional councillors, and you've had, what, 6 years' experience of it now. I'm just finding how you found it up to now and whether the last 3 years have been any different to the first 3 years.
Yeah, good morning, John. Good afternoon, sorry. It has been a lot different this last triennium, the last 3 years, compared to my first. I'd say that for me in particular has been incredibly disruptive, very challenging. And although it's still been very achieving, as in being able to work with staff directly and sort of putting a lot of the politics to one side, whilst my colleagues have been scrapping it out in the chambers, I've been able to sort of get on with business. It's been quite productive, actually, when it comes to the environmental front, which is something that I'm, you know, really supportive of, or trying to achieve more of in a more sustainable future.
So what do you think changed 3 years or so ago?
It's the leadership. It was really poor leadership this triennium. Very divisive, I felt. Very much like Donald Trump.
Because why did it change? Why was it good for the first 3 years and bad for the last 3 years?
Purely because we had a different leader, a different chairperson, and that chairperson resisted and pushed back on a lot of projects that I felt should have happened, and he was able to persuade other councillors to not do what I wanted or what I'd like to have seen happen. For example, the Sleepyhead development.
Ohinewai, to the north of Waikato District.
That's right. Well, my personal opinion was that I was very supportive of that. I met with the mayor, Alan Sanson, and the developer, and looked at what they were going to do there, and the employment opportunities for Huntley and surrounding were great. What currently was the land use of a dairy farm that was really much farming in a swamp had really serious negative impacts to the surrounding environment, where this would actually clean up a lot of that environment, although, you know, a lot of the paddocks obviously would be hard surfaces. There was going to be and is a large wetland area that has been reinstated to look after stormwater runoff, etc. The sewer works, the sewerage works that was discharging from Huntley into the river, which was completely outdated and was impacting on water quality, was going to be upgraded with the assistance of this developer. There was just a lot of positive things I could see in that development.
Because it was going ahead, isn't it?
It's well in it. It's going ahead now. It was taken to the politicians tried to stop it from happening initially altogether, and then it was compromised. The regional council's position said, well, you know, really, what do you want to make the improvements necessary for this development to go ahead? And there were some minor tweaks, and really the government had said, well, really came down over the top of regional council and said, no, this really has to happen, and make it happen, or we will grant consent over the top of regional council to allow it to happen. So really it was a directive from government that's pushed it through, and the councillors kind of had to cave in. So that was one example. Another one is the water tool Auckland, you know, putting restraints on Phil Goff, the mayor, and preventing Auckland from getting water from the Waikato River. I thought that was pretty ludicrous too. There's 90% of the flow that comes out of the Waikato River ends up into the Tasman Sea.
Because they did manage to get to the train that they've been pushing to go into the centre of Auckland rather than stop at the edge of Auckland, because that was part of that deal, wasn't it?
Nothing to do with taking water, no.
I thought they said you can have our water if we can have our train or something to that effect. Is that not true?
No, that's not true. Not okay. That I'm aware. No. But the train, that was, again, the government wanting the train to work. They invested heavily in that project. And, of course, for it to work, it needed to go into Auckland. And it's going to improve. In time, it will, the service will get better. Eventually, we will get a second line where that train, I think, would be really dedicated to travelling in at higher speed. It will improve.
Yeah, at the moment, it goes very slowly through the wetland area, which is quite interesting if you're only an irregular traveller through there, because it's worth seeing from the train, but it's not something you want to do every day when you're in a hurry to get there.
No, well, I haven't actually been on the Tihuia yet, so I can't say that I know too much about it.
Yeah, it's not very convenient for us here, because by the time you've got to Huntly, you might as well carry on to Auckland. So, the last 3 years hasn't been too great. You've been on a few of the committees, like the Climate Action Committee. Have you found that at all productive?
John, there's, to me, you know, I'm a hands-on, and I like to get spades in the ground, and I like to see something happening. I want to physically see something as a result. Not a whole lot of plans and roadmaps and what might happen, what could happen. It hasn't, in my opinion, it hasn't achieved anywhere near what I was hoping it would achieve. And you can't rely on politicians or governments to actually achieve much. It really comes down to everybody getting their boots dirty and doing the mahi to achieve or reverse the effects of climate change. And it is as simple as planting trees. And a hell of a lot more that's been, than what is being planted at the moment. Plus other things, of course, you know, like good public transport to reduce burning fossil fuels, electrification, solar power, wind energy, geothermal energy, all of those things. But the one thing we can all do and start sucking up carbon, increasing biodiversity, improving water quality, is planting trees. Yep. And not pine tree, native trees.
Because you're also on the Integrated Catchment Committee, so that's dealing with that sort of thing, is it?
No, not at all. Very little.
It should be, but it's not, is that?
Look, Integrated Catchment Management, ICM, is really only about farming. And that committee was put together by farmers for farmers. ICM is about doing things that, or Integrated Catchment Management is about doing things that will mostly benefit the farming community, which is to manage flood control, drainage, are the two main factors. And what else? Very little else.
Okay. And you're also on the flood committees as well. I'm surprised at that because you live further away from them than most other councillors, because we don't have any flood schemes over this side of the Divi, do we?
Yes, we do. We have some small ones on the other side, Te Akau side. And, of course, Waikato constituency is Huntly, Ngarawahia, across to the top of the Bombays, and part of the East Coast as well. So my constituency is not just Raglan, although I'm certainly accused of being biased towards Raglan, and I can't help that because, you know, it's my town, I love the place. But my area is, or the Waikato constituency, is the same as the Waikato District Councils. But as regional councillors, we're not allowed to really just represent those areas. We represent the region. So I spend a lot of time actually in Waipa zone, down the line from here, or down the west coast, Kawhia, Aotea, down to Mokau.
Yeah, a few weeks ago there was a hui on freshwater that you and I went to, but did you follow up on that?
That is still being followed up on. There's consultation happening still around the motu, all around the North Island, within our area. Well, actually, it's across the entire New Zealand. This is across what government has put down on regional councils to manage water and respect water better than it currently has been by the councils. So again, it's government showing more leadership where our regional councils have been lacking.
Yeah, they were going to have another 9 meetings, I think. Did you get to any of those?
I think I went to 5.
Okay, so pretty Findable, good record.
Tikawiri, yeah, Tikawiri, Taupo, Kawhia, Tuakau. Yeah, so I got around. I found it really very interesting. And again, you know my background, John, in harbour care. And, you know, water to me is the base. Well, it's the basis to life. Everybody knows that. And I've been working hard, for the last 27 years with Harbour Care to restore water quality within our catchment to improve the fishery. And it's worked extremely well in our catchment. Compared to anywhere else in New Zealand, we are ahead of the game by a long way. And again, I guess the vision that we had back then is now our country's vision. What we started in Raglan has been adopted by the government and is now forcing regional councils to do exactly what we've done here in Whangaroa, and that's fencing, planting, and respecting the water way more than what we had done previously.
So was that reflected in the attitude of people at the Huis, that maybe Raglan understood and knew more than the rest, or were they all much the same?
Look, honestly, everybody acknowledged what Raglan had achieved, and everybody agreed that it was worth doing. There wasn't one person that I met or had negative comments on what needed to be done. Even in Kawhia, right down the Wop-Wops, there were landowners that come in, farmers that come in from out of the hills, and they all knew that they could be doing better and what needed to happen to improve water quality, because you know, it's good for everybody. So there's no argument about that. It's just, why hasn't it been done like it's been done here through the rest of the country. And I can tell you why. It's because regional councils haven't encouraged communities to actually, or assisted communities to do what we have done here in Raglan. And that's something that I've been a strong advocate for all over the country, and supporting, mentoring lots of groups throughout all of New Zealand, and doing exactly what we've done here in Raglan, from Hokitika to Hokianga, Karamea, all over the place. And it builds respect. It improves biodiversity, builds respect within the community, respect for their own whenua, their own land, and it encourages people to look after the whenua, our place, as they do in Raglan. I'm very proud of it. Sorry?
One of the, another person from Raglan, Bruno David, is leaving the council at the end of this week. I think he's been there for well over a decade, I think. And have you talked to him or found out why he's leaving? Is it a general problem that staff are leaving, or is it just that Bruno's moving on something else?
No, Bruno. I had a good chat with Bruno. I've talked with Bruno and a number of the staff throughout the 6 years that I've been involved in council. A lot of politicians don't get involved with staff, but I do. And he's left really due to frustration, and not just Bruno. I know another three other scientists, really good people that really want to do good for our environment. And they've just been powerless. They haven't been listened to. Resource consenting has acknowledged what they've said and ignored them. And things are still being degraded. Look, our coastal plan is a great example of listening to communities, listening to me, listening to the scientists, and not acting on it. C'est la vie, same old thing. Not actually moving in an area that's going to be transformational, that will make change to improve the environment, to build our resources. They all just take the easiest option and let things continue as they are.
Who's they? Are you talking about government or council?
The council. The council's directorates, the bosses of these directorates, the boss of ICM, the boss of resource consenting. They're just not listening. Or they are listening and choosing the easy option, which is to do nothing, not to make change.
Do you see a solution?
Oh, hell yes. And that is that you need more people like me. I'll give myself a fat head over this, but we really need more people that will stand for council, that wants to make change, that will, and have a majority of those councillors that are in there as elected representatives to make change. You know, it's the majority wins. Unfortunately, I'm still a minority. I'm a minority of people that can see we need to take action now to move us forward out of a declining economy and a declining biodiversity. In fact, a planet that is rapidly going to become uninhabitable by humanity. We need to take action like yesterday, last triennium. Almost got there. I had a committee that was formed, a new committee called Community Restoration. And unfortunately, there were other politicians, including my very own constituent, the other constituent councillor for Waikato, voted it down. After 12 months, they did a reassessment and decided it wasn't going to achieve anything, so they got rid of it. Community restoration was going to actually build and give communities the support to do what we've done here in Whangaroa. For communities to work with regional councils, get those representatives from the various towns and the places like in Raglan, for example, Extreme Waste, Harbour Care, and other towns have got similar people in them, like Parongia and the work that they're doing around the mountain there to remove pests, and they've got the kokako back, to get those people around the table and talk about what their barriers are, what's getting in the way, how can they move faster, how can we restore and repair faster. They're the experts. The experts are in those communities. I wanted to ask those communities how council can support them to be more motivated than they are now. And
there is a wildlife corridor. What? There is a wildlife corridor being created, isn't there, between Karioi, Pirongia and Mongatautere?
Yes, and that wasn't a council initiative. That was community members that wanted to do that. That was community that got together and they're wanting to do that. And that's a great idea. And it should be from Mangatautere to Parongia, from Parongia to Kariori.
Is it making progress?
Are we making progress? We could have made a lot more progress if we actually had, again, you know, a committee of council understanding what the community needs to move that forward. Now, councils, we have buckets full of money. We take it off people like you, John, and everybody else that owns land. You know, we kind of just help ourselves to everybody's money. Well, my idea is to actually, since we've got all of that money from everybody, let's now go back to those communities and ask them what their best projects are and how we can spend it and actually supporting them to get these projects moving faster. So, you know, next, again, I'm going to stand again, most definitely, and hope like hell that we get more people that will stand through our region in a like-minded situation so we can have another crack at actually supporting communities to restore their environment.
Yeah, because nominations for council elections have only just opened, haven't they, I think? So presumably you don't know who else is going to stand this time here in Waikato constituency.
Well, no, you know, and for others to stand in the in this constituency, my constituency, would split the vote. And that would not be a good thing. If there was another environmentalist that would stand and split my vote, well, then it's most likely the farmers will win. They'll get in.
Because we get two votes for two councillors, don't we? So, in theory, we could have two good environmentalists representing us.
Well, if you had a, unfortunately, John, there's still the majority of voters in the Waikato constituency are farmers. Only 30% of people vote. Out of that 30% of people that do actually vote, the highest proportion of those are rural farmers.
So how do we get the other people out voting? Or is it impossible?
Well, look, how long have we been talking about this topic since we started voting? You know, you'll get all these school kids that came out a few years ago taking a day off school to protest about wanting change. It'd be interesting to see how many of them actually do vote rather than just holding placards and saying we want that. You know, to get that, they have to vote, and the younger people are not voting.
Yeah, is it a problem of not having much information out there? Because we've seen a few headlines about you which haven't been very complimentary because of the problems you were talking about earlier, but do people just see those headlines and don't actually know what we're talking about at the moment? And that's one of the reasons for talking to both you and your co-counsellor, to find out a bit more about both of you and what you stand for.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's a good job that you're doing, John. Because you're right, the media love headlines. They like to move the emphasis off what I actually stand for, and a lot of that's other councillors, farmer councillors, etc. They want to move the attention away from the issue, and when they don't like people like me that want to make positive change, and it is the rural community that need to be making that change. We all know who the biggest contributors are to methane and carbon emissions, CO2 emissions, is the agricultural sector.
Yeah, a bit more than two-thirds in Waikato.
Absolutely. So, who's their biggest advocate? Who's the biggest advocate or the biggest stirrer, if you like, in trying to make change? Me, of course. There is no other councillor out there that wants to make as much positive change to turn things around as me. So they will do whatever it takes to make sure I don't get back in council and cannot influence positive change. And they will throw in all the muck into the arena. You would think that I'm the only person with all the power that removed the chair from council. It's only my name that's spread all around the papers as being the reason why we rolled the chair. Well, actually, it took a majority of councillors to remove the chair.
And that case is still going on, is it? There was a court case over it?
Because, absolutely, and if you read the papers, you'll see why the other councillors want me gone and what they are standing for. And it's pretty much opposite, chalk and cheese. A lot of them don't want change. There's some of my politician farmers that are in council are really a minority. The majority of farmers are doing amazing work. They are really good custodians of the land. All we should be doing is encouraging and assisting them to make change. And that's what I want to do, as we've done in our catchment. But you would have some politicians that are actually in power are some of the worst custodians on the land that I've ever seen. They resist change. They don't want change. They're old school. And they think by spending a dollar on the environment is a waste of money. It could be spent on a tractor or something else.
So those were the three who voted against the regional passenger transport plan a few weeks ago.
Well, John, I'm not going to mention them, or I'll probably end up in court again. But
that was a problem for my last interview, was it?
Well, that's not your fault. It was me being honest, transparent. And again, it's something that I find really quite extraordinary that a local politician could end up in court for voicing an opinion and
on the local radio. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what you get. Look, if politicians can't be open and transparent, how the hell do people know who they're voting for? If we all say nothing because we're scared of saying something, you're really are voting in the blind. You've got to be careful about what you say. You can't name people, but you've got to still allow people to know what you're thinking. you know, otherwise people don't know what you're standing for. And most of the time I just get feedback from the community, like the Three Waters. What we went to, John, and go to all the various communities, listen to what people want, and I push for, really, the majority. That's what you do. You get out there in the communities and you listen, and you then respond by voting for what people want, the majority.
Sounds a good plan. Because sometimes people say that they're not going to put in submissions because nobody takes any notice anyway. And do you find that, is it just me that comes across that, or do you come across it? And are you able to give people any assurance that when they do put in submissions on coastal plan or waters or regional transport or whatever, that their views do get heard and considered?
Look, again, if you get a majority of politicians that have already got their own opinion, that aren't prepared to change, that they've got their thing that they want to do, then you can consult, and you're kind of right that some of the submissions, or if it's not going the way that they think it should go, they're ignored.
And again, you know, it's the same solution. We need some more progressive councillors.
Absolutely. Yeah, strong politicians that really do stick up for the environment and stick up for the people. You know, a lot of these councils, they'll say, yeah, well, we, you know, consultation is something we have to do. It doesn't necessarily mean we need to do what they say. Look, we got examples of that right here in Raglan. Look at the Wainui Reserve and that auditorium gully where we have that festival. I can't even think of it. The music festival.
Soundsplash. Yeah.
Soundsplash. Well, that was consulted on. 70% of the population did not want it. 30% did.
I don't think there's been any consultation this time round, has there? It's just gone ahead.
No, it's just a foregone conclusion because some of those councillors seem to think it's good for the rest of us, regardless of what the community thinks. We've had submissions on the Wainui Reserve about how that reserve should work, you know, the management plan. That was years ago they called for those submissions. They didn't like what they saw, so it hasn't even been released. It's all been filed.
Lots of people said they wanted organic farming and regrowing trees and things like that, but they've just decided to carry on with the current
90%
system.
90% of the population, but who's decided, no, we're not going to do that?
But that was district council rather than regional.
But, yeah, well, you know, that thing happens across the board. And it's up, again, for politicians to actually stick up for the majority and follow through. Because at the moment, local government are getting away with far too much. Yeah, and that is staff running the show. It's the staff running the show, not the politicians. And if the politicians can't get their acts together and actually demonstrate good leadership, then that sort of thing will continue to happen.
Yeah, because you mentioned the coastal plan earlier, and as far as I understand it, it's going to go through several stages before it gets revised. Are you following what's going on? Do you see things improving?
Well, again, you see there's two councillors, Dennis Pegg on the East Coast and me on the West Coast, and we have some fairly strong opinions as to how we can manage our marine habitat a lot better than it currently is. And again, we're not making the rules for the coastal plan, but we wanted to put our ideas into the draft coastal plan so when it goes out for public consultation, people can submit on whether or not what we think should be in there is right or wrong. Staff wouldn't let us do it. Staff would not let the elected representatives put in what they think was right for our area. So we, as a council, objected to it being released until such time our thoughts were put into the plan. Staff have delayed, mucked around, not put in our recommendations, and going to leave it now until the next triennium after the election to run the next stage of this. I guess hoping like hell I won't be back to actually again insist that they do things properly.
Okay.
There's not many people. You know, you look on the East Coast, there was Nair Island, there were things that were that Dennis Tegg wanted to look at perhaps potentially putting in new areas, marine reserves, but not reserves as no take, but selective take to manage things. Example being, there's areas there that there are kinner barrens, there's kinners just destroying the place. So if you were to put a marine protected area in, the kinners would completely wipe it out. So you'd say, yes, manage the kinners. Yes, some line fishing is acceptable, but not netting, not trawling. So selectively manage reserves. But no, oh no, can't do that.
Yeah, so...
So, yeah.
The solution, you think, is to elect some more progressive councillors, but as I say, it's pretty hard to get people aware of who is and who isn't progressive and actually therefore enthuse them to get out and vote, because as you say, only about a third of people vote, so somehow we need to get through to the other two-thirds.
Yep, and look, if you don't vote, you get what you got, and it's not working. Look, through Matabata Piakau, two councillors are leaving. There's no representatives for that area, and they will be somebody, probably two farmers will stand, and they'll probably be really farmer supportive, and again, I'll be struggling. Imagine if there were a couple of people, even Matamata Piakau, that were green, or, you know, not green as in, but environmentally sustainable, progressive, wanting to move. That'd be great. So if you know anyone over there that wants to stand, do it. Taupo, Kathy White, she's not going to stand again. It'd be nice to have somebody there too that would be, although Kathy was really quite balanced. She was quite environmentally aware and supportive, but we need to maintain that. We need someone there. Yes, it'd be nice for Dennis Tegg to be reappointed for the East Coast, because he's very eco-friendly, if you like. You know, he's pro electrifying car, you know, cars, and looking after the coast, recycling, reuse. Very pro.
Because have you thought of standing on a ticket the way they do in the big cities? Sort of, because in the big cities you can get some idea of who's who from which ticket they're on, but in Waikato that's never happened.
No, I don't understand that, John. No, I don't even know what you're really talking about, to be perfectly honest.
Well, they seem to come up with different names, but essentially it's a sort of coalition around Labour and a coalition around National.
Oh, and, right.
I don't think they ever call themselves that, but at least it gives people some idea of what they're standing for, because they're not just individual councillors who, as you were saying, to some extent you're muzzled as to what you can say.
Well, yes, because, you're right, but, you know, I'm independent, and I, you know, you only have to look what I've done in the past, and I'll continue to do that into the future. And if that's what people like, and you know, then I've got their vote, hopefully.
Because you've been working on Harbour Care since, what, 1993, was it?
Yeah, something like that. About 27 years now we've been working there doing that. But
you've planted your 2 millionth tree. When's the 3 millionth coming?
Yeah, over 2 million trees now.
Are we getting a 3 millionth, or are we getting...
It's like this coast plan. There's a lot of things that... Sorry, I'm losing you now, John. You there?
No, I was asking, are we going to get a 3 millionth tree planting ceremony in the foreseeable future?
I hope so. It's certainly slowed down as far as the number of trees that are going in the ground now. Again, the economy, I guess, the squeeze, the recession. A lot of farmers have done it. There's a lot of regulations that are coming down from the top, and they're cautious now. They're not sort of doing it as a voluntary thing. They're going to be wait now until they know what they have to do and spend their money on what they have to do. So there's all sorts of reasons why people aren't putting trees in the ground now, but we're putting in less now than what we've done than what we were doing 10 years ago. There's been a reduction in the number of trees that are going in the ground.
And is that because most of them have already been done, or just the support isn't there, or the people who do support it have already got them in, and those who don't aren't going to do it unless they really get forced to?
It's cost. You know, like Harbour Care, we haven't had a ratepayer's dollar in supporting our organisation to subsidise trees for probably 15 years now. And I don't know if the listeners know that. You know, we don't get any support from the general ratepayer for doing the work that we do. That's just Harbour Care. I'm just bewildered about what some groups or how some people get money. Again, without taking any of the good work that Extreme Waste do away from them, but you know, everybody now has just had about a $70 increase in rates for their green waste, their scraps, food scraps to be composted. And we all pay.
Yeah.
I
was surprised when the ballot went that way, but at least there was a ballot on it, which there doesn't seem to be for things like the pest control and the tree planting and such like.
No, that's right. You know, food scraps to make compost. Well, me, you know, that costs me now to pay for something I don't use. My food scraps, I've got chickens, they go to the chickens, or they're dug, or whatever other scraps go as compost into my vegetable garden. So it's a service I don't pay for. You know, there's plenty of services that we don't pay for that the district council tax us for. But, you know, the service in actually environmental restoration, like you've just pointed out, pest control, it's a bunch of volunteers doing a hell of a lot of hard graft to do that work. Planting a tree in a reserve? No, doesn't happen. We don't contribute to that. You know, you look at the Wainui Reserve, there shouldn't be a cow on that place. That should be mountain bike tracks, picnic tables, electric car chargers.
Well, for some reason, they decided that local people shouldn't have be on the committee that decided that. So it was decided by councillors outside Whangarā. In particular, I think it was chaired by one of the Newcastle councillors, the Whatawhatta area. So, yeah, it seems an odd way of decision-making to me, but as I say, that's district council rather than regional council, but you seem to be suggesting similar things are happening at regional level, and unless we talk to people like you, we don't get to hear about these things.
Well, yeah, look, you know, I guess it is the district level, or the control over land and our reserves, We need to be led. The people need to be led by good example. If you look at the Waikato District Council Wainui Reserve, that whole thing was sold to Grasshopper Holdings for a housing development. It was because this community demanded that thing back. And now it was run by a local group of people for our community. And as soon as the reserve resembled a real reserve that was working well, the council kicked them off and reinstated their staff and took over. Now it's just a facility for district staff.
That's one way of looking at it. Yeah.
Off the district staff. Well, I'm afraid it is. It should be planted up, majority of it planted up as a carbon capture to offset Raglan, our community's carbon. That's public land, and it should be used for the greater good of the public. So that's my opinion. But when it comes to the regional council or regional councils, yeah, I think we should start acquiring land too. I think we should be buying really substandard farmland and putting that into carbon capture as well. Manuka, Kānuka, Totra. We really need to be thinking about our future and rating for it and doing things that are going to improve our environment for the next generation. Because if we don't, we're not going to have much of a future left. If you watch the news and see what's going on at the moment in Europe, 40-plus degree temperatures, my God. Every year it's getting worse. More and more forests are burning. And it's no good saying, oh, yeah, well, that's happening overseas. What good is it if we, if we do this? How's that going to make any difference? And this is some of the arguments we get at regional council level.
A very parochial view.
Two wrongs make it right? Really? It's going to cost us a lot more. If we don't start investing in our future, then we're going to start paying for it. And I mean really paying for it, not investing in our future. And again, you can see Whangaroa, John, you know, what it used to look like. And the money that we put into it to put a little bit of a few green belts around the edge of the harbour and up our rivers and streams, and look what's happened to our economy. Tourism, people want to be here, they're living here. Too many people wanting to come here and live here. I've got strong views on a better future. And it does require investment.
Well, thanks very much for spending that time talking to me, Fred. Hopefully we're not going to hear from the lawyers again, but I have just got an email saying that they want me to sign an affidavit saying that you said what you said in the interview that we had last time, saying as if I can't just play the recording, which is available for anyone to listen to.
Of course it is.
A real mystery.
No, that resulted in a high court case, having to go to the high court for a judicial review over questions or statements that I'd made in that last radio interview. Yeah. So,
as you say, it discourages you from being honest and open. Yeah. But anyway, thanks for the time you spent talking to me again, Fred.
And
hopefully we won't have that problem with this one.
It's a pleasure, John. Anytime.
That was good. Thank you.
Thank you.